And we're live, everyone, for a new episode of the Electric Podcast. I'm Fred Lambert, your host, and I'm joined by Seth Wintraub. How are you doing this week, Seth?
I'm good, Fred.
All right, let's jump in because a ton of news this week. Kind of insane. Let's start with Houston, Texas, where we might get to see soon the, I'm going to call it the Terra Factory, because that's what it sounds like it's going to be like. No more Gigafactory anymore. It's going to be Terra Factories. And what we learned this week is that we learned the exact spot where it's going to be. So if you remember, a few weeks ago, we reported that Tesla already set its sights on Austin, and it's where the new factory is going to be. The deal is not completely official yet, but my understanding from sources is that Tesla has got assurances at several different levels, and now it's just about going through the process and getting official approval everywhere. But the company has its sights set on Austin, and they have this deal to acquire a plot of land that is currently occupied by a concrete and gravel mining company. And my understanding, too, from sources is that Tesla or contractors are already doing work at this site to like to level off the mine to be ready to build at the location extremely soon. Like they want to start in Q3, which, of course, that's Q3 starts next month. And so the big news is that they are going for a very large purchase of land here. I mean, it's not that expensive. It's $5 million they're getting it from, but it's 2,100 acres of land. So that's a lot. That's I mean, aside from maybe like Nevada, but of course that's in the middle of the desert, so it's not very good comparison, because this is like really in town almost in Austin. It's like 5-10 minutes from the airport.
Yeah, it's actually quite close to the airport, isn't it? Kind of almost adjacent to the airport.
Yeah, I mean, so much so that I'm afraid we won't be getting drone videos on that one. Maybe it's like not allowed to fly drones.
Oh, yeah.
It's that close in the airport. Not sure, though. I'm not sure what the laws are in Texas, but generally they have pretty large no-fly zone for drones around the airports. But yeah, it's a very large site, which can give you an idea of like the size of the factory that this is planning to build on. Elon originally referred to it as a Cybertruck factory, but as Electric reported earlier this year, Tesla is planning to have a general assembly line for the Model Y there first. That's what they are aiming for. And we learned last week that Tesla is having some issues with the general assembly of the Model Y in Fremont. So we think that that's also an incentive for Tesla to get a new line up and running as soon as possible. Though by the end of the year, it's extremely aggressive timeline. I don't know if it's achievable, especially when you talk about starting construction like in the next few months. So, but Tesla has been doing some pretty impressive things when it comes to construction lately. So kudos for that. Yeah, the other thing that we learned is that there is a $68 million incentive package right now that needs to be approved by the local school district, because the school taxes is the biggest part of the property taxes that Tesla is trying to avoid, of course. But my understanding is that that's also just a part of a larger county and statewide incentive. So I think it's going to add up to more than $68 million over 10 years. Once everything is said and done, but that's what we get from the application right now for with the Texas tax office regarding the project right now. But Tesla described the project in it as a design and construction of an electric vehicle manufacturing plant on 2,100 acres.
And do we think the Elon mentioned that he was, you know, going to move Tesla's headquarters to Texas. Do we think that that's also going to end up in this location, or is that going to be like in downtown Austin or something like that?
Well, with the size of the land, I think that's not my big possibility, because we are hearing right now some chatters at Tesla about people being told that you might get an option soon if you're working at HQ, if you want to stay in California, or you might want to go to Texas. I don't know if it's going to be there, but I mean, with the size of the project, it will make sense. Also, like, it doesn't make that much sense to have a factory like so close to town like that, but it does make sense for an HQ. You want the HQ to be close to a big city center.
Yeah, and also close to an airport. That would be pretty convenient for the executives to fly in and out of.
Exactly. Yeah, so it would be a prime location for that. We know that Apple is also building, that's not their HQ, but what did they call it, Apple? The big thing that they're building in Austin? An engineering center or something?
Yeah, like that? I can't remember the name of it, but yeah, they have a huge thing there as well.
And that's thousands of employees too, right?
Yeah, and I mean, it's everybody. Like Samsung mm-hmm. has a huge plant there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They actually...
AMD too. And
It's one of the places where a lot of chips are actually manufactured in the U.S. Mm-hmm. You know, if you take all the parts of the iPhone, like two or three parts are made in the U.S. And it's like the glass in New York and the Samsung or the Apple chips that are made. This is old time. I guess the new Apple chips are probably made in China, but used to be.
Yeah. So I think that's a real possibility, but right now we're more looking at the factory. And of course, Tesla's company line right now is that they say that they're still considering other locations. But again, our understanding is that the deal is pretty much done. It just need to go through the process. But Tulsa is still pulling for it, even though I think they're getting played a little bit. But at the same time, they're pulling so hard and like they're like showing such an effort to get the thing that we know that there's going to be that it's not Tesla's last factory in the U.S. at this point. Like it's that's pretty clear,
right?
So it's probably smart for them to keep pulling, even though they're probably not going to get that one. They might get the next one.
Yeah, I mean, Austin was actually one of the final bidders for the original Gigafactory, I believe.
Yeah, it was another location than this right. new one, but it was.
So
it was, you know, the finalist.
They're maybe pulling for another one down the road.
Mm-hmm. Though it is close. Like, I mean, Oklahoma. I mean, it's not that close. Like, it's
yeah. And Tesla could also put like a drive assembly thing there. You know, some offshoot thing they could put in Tulsa, a smaller
plant. Yeah, maybe they do the Tesla Semi there or something like that.
Right, that makes sense.
That would be cool. But yeah. And right now, this specific factory, though, I'm telling you, is going to Austin, even though people argue against me on that. It's happening.
Well, I mean, so, like, without divulging too much, like, we kind of knew, like, there was already things happening in Tesla at, like, people who would be getting a factory ready were getting a factory ready
in Austin.
In Austin weeks ago. So... I don't know.
Yeah, Tulsa was never on the radar for that. But again, they did such a good job that they might now be on the radar for something else.
Right.
So keep that in mind.
And I mean, it sounds like Tulsa is just like, look, we'll give you land. We're not going to mess with you. We're not going to charge you anything. Just be here.
Be here and create jobs, which is right. Fun. All right. An article from earlier this week that got a lot of talk was the quality issues on the Model Y, which... for those who don't know, are quite significant. We talked to a bunch of owners that took delivery and returned their cars for issues. A bunch of owners who were going to take deliveries but refused deliveries because of quality issues. We talked to some buyers who were scheduled to get deliveries, but Tesla, which is a good thing in my opinion, canceled the delivery themselves because they caught the issues before getting the customers. So there's a bunch of different ways here to approach that. Like people, the Tesla super fan that are detractor of my article, were always like, get us the stats, like how much more issues it has than other Tesla cars. Of course, we don't have that. Tesla doesn't share that stuff. They do share it sometimes once it gets better.
Right.
Like a year or two into the Model 3 program, they were like, hey, quality is very good now. Like, yeah, sure. From where it started, they're not gonna share that on Model Y. It's extremely, they keep that close to the chest. But what is undeniable here is that Tesla is trying to deliver cars that they should never try to deliver in the first place. Again, they are catching a few of those in the quality control process and being like, no, we won't even attempt delivery. We're sorry, we're gonna delay it and we're gonna bring you a new car. We're gonna fix that car, whatever. But it's unacceptable that some of the state of what some of those cars are in when they attempt delivery. We talked to Riley Dove, who's a big Tesla fan, ordered a Model Y last month. He was scheduled to take delivery earlier this month. Tesla pushed it a week, and then he shows up to get his delivery, and the car was just in awful conditions. That's the other thing too. Like, I say major quality issues, and people are like, it's nothing. It's just like some cosmetic thing and whatever. It's not cosmetic thing. Like, look at this. Look at this seat belt right here. The seat belt was literally like pulling out of the socket here. That's dangerous. Like, straight up. You also noted a few other like cosmetic issues, like this dent here in the seat. That's not good, but that's not the end of the world. Another like weird, like imprint in the leather here, or the fake leather, whatever. Some trim issues, a bunch of trim issues. And the craziest one, in my opinion, well, the seat belt is bad, of course, but you also add the back seat. The bottom of the back seat will straight up pull out. Like, it wasn't, I mean, it's never completely locked in place, but there's trim in place to keep it steady. You can wiggle it out with some work, but literally, you just sat on it and it lift up.
That's not a way to start off your relationship with the car.
No, it's awful. And then I started looking into that, and a bunch of other Model Y owners had the same problem, where the back seat wasn't put in place correctly. Might be even missing some parts, so that's why it doesn't stay in place at all. So a bunch of people had the same issues. And yeah, that's not good. And I mean, we saw, we're not the only one reporting on this too, like a bunch of Model Y, like Tesla YouTubers that are getting their Model Ys are just listing long list of quality issues.
Yeah, even I saw Ben Solins had a video about his Model Y delivery, which, I mean, come on, guys. Well, first of all, everybody who gets a Tesla Model Y right now is a fan, because mm-hmm. you must have ordered it like at the show or right after the show or pretty close.
Yes and no, though. Like I said, the Riley Dove, he ordered it last month, though. And now Tesla is like delivering like pretty quick.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah. But you know, generally speaking, and it's not just, you know, Fred, it's like, you know, after Fred, obviously, but you know, Ben Solins came out and said his delivery experience was pretty bad. It's easy to find on YouTube, like tons of people having similar issues.
Yeah. So again, like I said, we cannot go into the statistics. We don't have that. But what's you cannot defend Tesla on is like you cannot even attempt to deliver a car that's like that. That's not acceptable. And for in Riley Dove's case, the Tesla delivery person straight up told him, like, yeah, I had to attempt delivery, but if I were you, I wouldn't take delivery of that car. I would refuse delivery, which is what he did. And I think he's supposed to take delivery now this weekend or something. So hopefully the new car is looking a lot better. But yeah, it's disappointing. And I hope Tesla improves on that quick. And of course, I got attacked by the Tesla fans on this, like why you report on that and everything. Like, yeah, that's the only way I know how to give Tesla feedback on that stuff. Like, especially nowadays, Tesla doesn't even have PR. So normally I would reach out to PR with that stuff. I'm like, yeah, I talked to a bunch of new buyers on Model Y and they are reporting some pretty important, quality issues here. Are you guys doing anything about it? And if they were like, oh yeah, we're aware of this and we already fixed it to the queue, like, all right, that's good. And then we move on. But in this case, like, it doesn't even happen. So there's no choice but to report on that stuff here. But yeah, so we're going to keep an eye on that and track if there's any improvement. But of course, there's always the thing that, like, the people that are happy with the delivery, they don't complain about it. So you don't hear about it as much, which is fair. But again, you shouldn't not even attempt to deliver those cars.
Yeah.
But part of why Tesla is attempting to deliver is that they are in their end of the quarter push, as usual. This one is even crazier because of the shutdown for over a month. And we got some delivery data in the U.S. here, which is rare. We don't necessarily get in many states the registration data like we do like in Europe or something. But the Wall Street Journal had a report this week. They shared some data from Dominion Enterprise that had access to 24 states of registration data from April to May, so the first 2 months of the quarter. And they reported that Tesla in California was down 37%. And in the broader US, or at least the 24 state where they do get the registration data, that was 30%. And so, of course, like there's a crash in delivery here. It's obvious, but it's actually not that bad because the rest of the market had a drop of 50% over the same period. So 30% versus 50%, not that bad. And then I look at the actual numbers here, and Tesla delivered 14,000 cars in April and May in the U.S. In the 24th state, again, in the U.S., so it might be a little bit higher than that. I think it's the main state, so maybe not much higher than that, but still a little bit higher. That's not that bad for 2 months where most of everything was shut down,
right?
Including the factory. And of course, they had some inventory car that helped that they could deliver. So those are counted in that. But now when you think about China already having over 20,000 deliveries and probably like another 10,000 this month, maybe even a little bit more than that. I probably estimate China between 30 and 35,000. The U.S. looks like they might get closer to 25, 30,000 units. So 60,000 looks extremely achievable this quarter at this point, I think. And then I think that's on the conservative side. Like it's, I think 60,000 units is on the conservative side. And some people are putting as much as 80,000 units. I think that's on the optimist side. But somewhere in between, I think, is very possible. So that would be like 70,000 units. But I think at least 60,000, which is a lot higher than I thought like 2 months ago when of course, at that point, the factory was still shut down and we didn't know when they're going to reopen exactly. But yeah, what do you think of that? Like if Tesla was to deliver 60,000 units in Q2 with the pandemic and everything, that would be impressive, correct?
I think so. I mean, it's hard to fault them. Like when most dealerships are closed down, most transportation systems are closed down, like any number is pretty impressive, let alone what that's like 2/3 of a normal quarter.
Yeah, roughly, yeah.
So, and that bodes well for the future as well. Although it does sound like a lot of Model Y reservation holders no longer are Model Y reservation holders.
Yeah. For sure, the demand was quite there, but enough still that there's a decent number of delivery. Of course, that's also part of the massive, significant price cuts, like $5,000 for the Model S, $2,000 on all Model 3 configuration. Those are significant price cuts that probably helped, and also definitely affected the gross margins. So I wouldn't expect a profit from Tesla this quarter, even though they do also gonna have significantly lower costs because they did furlough a lot of employees and they cut the salaries of all employees for just over a month. So that will help the cost, but I still doubt that we're gonna see a profit there. And we're going to see a reduction in gross margin for sure, both because of the reduction in prices and also with the problem with the Model Ys. Those problems are costly for Tesla. When someone refuses the deliveries, when they have to do rectification, which Elon confirmed earlier this week last week.
Yeah. I also imagine there's a lot of people like me who are Model Y reservation holders who are kind of hoping to like delay my delivery as long as possible because I want them to get through the manufacturing process and QA process. So when it is time to get my car delivered, it's in really good shape. And, you know, Tesla did a fantastic job in the Model 3, getting it from, sort of okay shape for the first, couple hundred thousand, whatever, maybe a thousand to like, pretty good high quality after that. So
yeah, I mean, it gets scary when like someone like Ben Sullins get quality issue on his car, because you know that at least a few people in the entire process of getting him the car, whether it's like at the shipping and then at the service center or the delivery center, whatever it was, someone knew that he's influential within the Tesla community and he's going to report on these issues.
Right.
But still, you're like, all right, I'll deliver that car as is anyway. So Because I know that my cars, every car that I bought from Tesla, which, well, it's two cars, they were like near perfect, if not perfect. And I have to assume that at some degree, like people, especially at Tesla Montreal, they knew I'm working for Electra, they knew I would report on it. And it's preferential treatment. I'm not like, it's no excuse with Tesla. It should be like that for everyone. But I'm still saying when it comes to that, like when Ben Sullins doesn't get a proper car, it's, it points to me that Tesla's quality control is kind of overwhelmed by the
right
quality issues of the Model Y right now. So too many of them just slip by.
Yeah. I mean, maybe that's why mine's taking so long. Maybe they haven't found one good enough.
Good enough for Seth from Electra.
Right, right.
All right, some better news. New software update this week with a bunch of new features. Some of them are nothing massive, but a few fun ones. The backup camera is getting an improvement where you don't just get the one that's it's over the license plates or whatever, around the nine license plates. They give you a view of your back, like a kind of fisheye view. You also get the repeaters, which on the side that gives you some kind of sort of a blind spot camera, if you will.
Yeah.
So you get both sides now.
That's good for curbs.
Yeah, good for curbs. That's right. Yeah. And also some people, I mean, I've never been that guy that drives with the backup camera on, even when you're driving forward, but some people like it, like this person right here.
Makes me car sick if I've got that, like it's going the wrong way.
Yeah, I get that. Me, it's just because like I don't, like it's...
distracting or something?
Distracting, yeah. You keep seeing something moving on the side of your eyes. Even if you're looking forward, you still see something and it's like distracting.
It is nice, but anyway, if you have like the rear view mirrors blocked by, like, if you have a bunch of stuff in the back of your car.
Yeah. For that I completely understand. But I know plenty of people though that just like it like that. They like driving no matter what with the backup camera on. They think like it's like they see more, but now they really is gonna see more because they're gonna have both sides of the blind spot. So that's good. A lot of people were asking for that. Then a backup camera improvement. That was it. The dash cam viewer improvement. So that's something that Tesla released earlier this year. The dash cam viewer, so that people can see the Sentry mode and the Tesla cam videos directly from the car. Now they added something where the video is going to start at the actual point where that triggered the event. So that's for Sentry mode, really, because they don't trigger an event for Tesla Cam. You have to trigger it yourself. You like keep the last, is it 10 minutes? No, 10 seconds. No, 10 minutes? What is it when you click on Tesla Cam? I'm confused.
Like how long does it take to...
Yeah, what the last like some period of time that it takes. But anyway, it's more for Sentry mode where something's going to trigger an event, a Sentry mode event, and it's going to record. But it starts, it records the part before that too. But some people, like if you park in a busy street or something, you're going to get a ton of Sentry mode events. So if you're that kind of guy that even though you don't have any damage on your car or something like that, you're still going to go through those events. It can be a long time, but now you can go directly to whatever triggered it. So if it's just like someone walking by the car or something, you can skip them pretty fast. So that's useful. Walk away door lock improvement. That's not a big deal. Simply that, it might be for some. I don't know, but you with the navigation system on Tesla, you can tell your car where is home. The car, well, I think it also like learns it by itself after a while too. But you can decide to not have the car lock itself when you walk away from it if you're at home. So for people that park the car in a garage or something like that, doesn't really matter for them if the car is locked or not. You can have that. I mean, I don't see how big deal it is because like you walk up to your car anyway and it's going to unlock. So I better have it locked all the time. I don't know. En-route battery warm-up. That's a cool one here. That, of course, already existed for the supercharger. If you put in the navigation that you're going to a supercharger station, they precondition the battery to be at the ideal temperature when you arrive there to get the top charge rate. Now it's also going to work with third-party charging stations. So the last few months, Tesla has been adding third-party charging station to the Tesla navigation system. And now it's going to work with the preconditioning of the battery pack. So that's cool. Tesla cabin camera. That was the surprising one. as many of you know, all Model 3 vehicles and Model Y are equipped with a cabin-facing camera that's just over the rearview mirror. But, I mean, it's been in the Model 3 for years now, and it was never really turned on. Like, there's no feature using it. I know that a lot of Tesla owners put a tape on it, too, because they think, like, the Tesla may be spying on them or something. But Tesla is like, no, we're not using it at all. But now they're going to use it. And so Elon, just a few weeks or months ago, he said that the real purpose of that camera is to use it to prevent people from vandalizing the car once they have the ride-sharing network, self-driving one. So there's no one else in the car, like the owners of the car are not there. So it's sort of a way to keep people honest, I guess. But now Tesla is saying that they're going to use it. Let me read this because just to make sure I don't have anything wrong here. To help Tesla continue to develop safer vehicles by sharing camera data from your vehicle. This update will allow you to enable the built-in cabin camera above the rearview mirror. If enabled, Tesla will automatically capture images and a short video clip just prior to a collision or safety event to help engineer develop safety feature and enhancement in the future. As usual, you can adjust your data sharing preference, blah, 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 blah. So basically, if you're in an accident, like Tesla wants to know if you were watching or not, probably if you were paying attention or like if you had any input into the accident happening, if it's not them or not, which is a bit tricky for some people. I'm sure that the insurer would love that. And now Tesla is an insurer too now in California. So right. I'm sure that can be useful for them.
Yeah, it's actually, you know, that's a little bit controversial because, like, mm-hmm. theoretically, you could do, like, you could have that information but not give it up. Mm-hmm. I mean, the fact that that Tesla is recording that and that information could be uploaded to Tesla, but maybe not, but it exists in the car, then, you know, theoretically, an insurance agency could come out and say, well, we want to see the data and, you know, and if the data is in the car, they kind of have to have access to it. If they don't get it, mm-hmm. they can just say, well, it was your fault. You fell asleep at the wheel or whatever.
Yeah.
So it's kind of weird that they've enabled that and that it can be used to kind of work in insurance situations.
Yeah. I haven't gotten the update yet. I'm curious to see when I do get the update that sometimes Tesla, they give a little bit more information when you do activate that feature. Like there's more than what it was in the release notes. I'd be curious to see if they do mention anything about that. They do say that they don't link the data to the driver. So if that's really the case, it would be hard to do the insurance thing, but I'll wait and see. I'm sure a lot of people would keep the little tape on that. All right, another software update, but this one is only in the early access program right now. So mine takes a few days, even a few weeks to get to the wider fleet. It's an update to traffic light and stop sign control. That's the update that allowed the Tesla vehicle to stop at a stop sign or at the traffic light, a red traffic light. Oh, what's happening with that hat here? That's a weird one.
Yeah, I noticed on the previous one, there was like a video. It's weird.
Yeah.
Look at the ad guys involved.
Yeah, but this one looks like a double one here. Yeah. It's weird. All right. That's not anything relevant for the podcast. The feature was requiring the drivers to press on the accelerator or activate the stalk, the autopilot stalk, to continue driving at the stop sign or at the traffic light. Only if you go straight, it doesn't do turn. What this feature changed is that it doesn't require the confirmation from the driver to keep going if you're at a green light and there's a car in front of you. So still no turn, and you need a lead car. So it's not a major update, in my opinion, because technically Tesla was already doing that if you had traffic aware cruise control on. Like if you were in traffic and there was a traffic light and you had a car in front of you that stopped at the red light, your car would stop, and then it becomes green, the car goes forward, and your Tesla followed the lead car. So it's not that. It's just that now it actually knows what it's doing. It knows like it's going to an intersection, and it will also navigate the intersection better because, of course, there's no lane in the actual intersection. So there's some calculation here that need to be made to go from one side to the other. So it's still a step forward, But it's not groundbreaking or anything like that. Oh, yeah, the Model S 402-mile update earlier this week.
Wow. Seems like weeks ago.
Oh, yeah, it was a crazy week of news. It's insane. But, yeah, this one definitely caught our attention. Tesla announced that they officially got the EPA rating of 402 miles on the Model S. So I'm still looking into the details with the EPA on that one because it's kind of a, like, he said, she said situation. Like, if you remember in the last earning call, Elon was like, the Model S Long Range Plus already achieved a 400-mile range. It's just that during the EPA test, they screwed up their test. And the way they screwed up, Elon said that they kept a door open because the EPA test is not like just one drive. Like, they do like a full cycle on the battery pack, which include like stopping the car. Overnight even, and they said that they left the door not completely closed overnight, which resulted in the car not powering completely itself down, which drained a little bit more energy than just the regular overnight vent power drain, and that resulted in a roughly 11 miles shorter range. The EPA denied that. They said that their test was regular and normal, but now apparently this is the same car that they tested, or maybe not the exact same car, but they didn't improve it more, and it's getting the longer range because Tesla did list a bunch of improvement that made them achieve this longer range, a significant reduction in mass, the Tempest aerial wheels that they introduced on the Model S earlier this year, more efficiency in the drive unit, and better regenerative braking. So all things that improve efficiency. But he said that everything since they launched the Long Range Plus was in there. And there was some that was even before the Long Range Plus. That's why some people are now seeing that Tesla is upgrading their car to Long Range Plus because they're getting a longer range. But that I'm still looking into that because I'm getting different numbers from everyone and no one is really getting that 400 miles. So it's sort of muddying the water in what Tesla considered the Long Range Plus versus a Long Range Model S. Maybe I have more clarity on that later. But really what we see here, regardless of what's the actual range, because I mean, they do get the, we use the EPA to compare people, but of course compare different cars. But as everyone that ever driven an electric car knows, like, the range is highly dependent on how you drive the car, also what shoes the car is wearing. Like, I know, like, I get decent, like, I get pretty much the EPA mileage or whatever my car is saying, because now it got some battery degradation. My Model X set as the exact same Model X, but with 22-inch wheels, and you're getting, like, what, like, 30% less range than me.
Yeah, it's significant. Those 22-inch turbines are just horrible for range.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many factors into it. It's insane.
I actually got better range with snow tires on 20-inch rims, mm-hmm. Which, you know, snow tires obviously aren't designed for efficiency, but the aero tire or the 22-inch turbines are so bad aerodynamically that regular tires on there perform much worse than snow tires on a regular 20-inch rims.
Yeah. I mean, on a 22-inch, you have like just like this of like tires. On a 20-inch, you have like 2 more inches of tires all around. So, and of course, the tire is more aerodynamic than the wheel itself because it's covered. So just that alone make a difference. And then the actual wheel design can also make a difference. But now I don't know really the specifics on that.
Yeah. And for the record, I didn't necessarily want the 22-inch wheels. It's just the used Tesla I got had them. And I was like, oh, they look cool. And once I drove them off the lot, I was like, this isn't like, I'm not in it. I'm not in a Model X for the sportiness. I'm trying to carry my kids around and navigate potholes. And these are not the tires for that or wheels.
But so, yeah, the actual range number will depend on how you drive your car, what shoes you're wearing, what wheels are wearing, and everything. But if you look at the actual improvement that Tesla has made, which is just over the last few months in the manufacturing process, everything from the new wheels to the mass reduction to the drive efficiency and everything like that. That just like shows like how much focus Tesla has on efficiency, and they are increasing their lead really on the market, which is encouraging. I mean, there's still improvements to be made there, despite Tesla already being the leader. So very fun to watch. And also that's like improvements made on a car that is really like 8 years old at this point, almost right. 8 years old. So you can imagine with like Tesla, everything they learn, and they can still make like little improvements like that makes some decent difference. Like then when they start from scratch and they develop a brand new vehicle program, like the Cybertruck, for example, you know, like they're using all that knowledge to put into a blank sheet of paper. And it's just, it's hard to see like someone catching up to them at this point with this kind of improvement rate. It's really impressive.
Yeah, particularly when companies like GM don't seem to be learning anything from their past endeavors.
Yeah. And also the cycles of improvement is so right. much slower. All right, another good news. Tesla released a new solar panel. And they slashed the price on their solar panel installations. So that was a scoop that I had last night. When I did report on it, I was a little bit confused because like I heard about it from a source and I was looking for it like to get like the exact information on it, like how much it's going to cost, because I know like the prices are different per market and everything. The Tesla seems to be like now normalizing the price in different markets. Of course, before incentive, there's different incentive in different market. But anyway, When I did my report, I don't know if I could actually like place an order for that. That would have been funny, but I could get like an 11 kilowatt or even a 15 kilowatt system for just $10,000. Like everything was $10,000. It made no sense. Before incentive too. After incentive, it was even cheaper. So I could have gotten
an order.
Like, yeah. Could have gotten like a 15 kilowatt system, because I was there like one Tesla was still updating the configurator. I didn't do it. I didn't try to like, I wasn't like trying to take advantage of the system or anything like that. But we did get the new prices here. New prices and, of course, new sizes. So if you remember, last year Tesla sort of changed the revamped the business for the solar installation, and now they just sell them in specific sizes. There's no like, well, it's still a little bit costly. Like you have to place them on specific roofs. But there's four options: small, medium, large, and extra large. And now they all went up by like 8-10% because of the new, more powerful solar panel, which was a 315 watts. Now it's a 340 watts, and it's the same size. So it's purely an efficiency improvement. So that's good. And now you have the small one is 4.08, medium one 8.16, large one 12.24, and the extra large one now is 16.32. And the prices are a lot better. Like the medium one used to be 7.56 for $19,500. Now it's 8.16 and $16,000. So more powerful and significantly lower in price. That was used to be a 2.58 per watt. And now it's 1.96 per watt. So, like, I think it's 24% improvement in price here per watt. So that's a big difference. If you ask me, I think it has something to do with Tesla's update with price matching last month. So we reported on that. Tesla started accepting price matching for solar panel installation, not solar roof, of course, because there's not really a comparable product on the market, but solar panels. There's a bunch of different kinds of solar panels, but at the end of the day, you're getting a solar panel installation on your existing roof. So it's more about like the installation process, the mounting equipment, the different solar panel types. But at the end of the day, it's really kilowatts of output. And then the warranty maybe is important too. So there's a lot less differentiation between Tesla and the rest of the market here. And a lot of people were a lot cheaper than Tesla. So, but then they started doing price matching. And I think they probably got a lot of that going for over the last month. And Tesla was like, all right, we're probably not there on pricing at all. So they did this like significant major price cuts here last night. So go ahead. And if you need solar You can use our code too. If you want $250 off of that solar installation too, you can use our code. It's in the article. Or do you want to share yours, Seth? Yeah, for the podcast. It's in the article.
I don't remember it offhand, but
set something. Set 1526, something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
All right, this one was weird. Tesla is seeking design submission for his upcoming Chinese-made electric car.
That is weird.
So, yeah. Remember earlier this year, after the launch of the Gigafactory in China and the launch of the Model Y program in China, Elon announced that they are also going to do a design and engineering center in China, and they want at that center to make a Chinese car that's going to be designed in China, made in China, but exported for the global market. So you could technically get it in the US too. We see a lot of companies doing that now, like BMW is doing that with the iX3. Volvo is doing that with the, I don't know, XC40 is made in, is XC40 made in Sweden?
I don't know.
The Polestar ones, the Polestars, are which is Volvo too, are made in China and exported worldwide. So Tesla is going the same way here, but with a brand new vehicle program. And they want that program to be designed in China. They want it to they keep referencing the Chinese style. So Chinese style car, which I don't know if that's a thing anymore. I mean, I know they have like super small cars in China, but they also have like all different kinds of cars. So like, I don't know if anything is really like Chinese style. But Ray on Twitter, Ray Tesla, he shared a WeChat announcement from Tesla China that basically requested people to submit their design for the car. And they were both asking for professional Chinese car designer and people that's not their job. If they just like want to give it a shot or something, they can send an email to chinadesign@tesla.com. And they might use it, I guess. Like, it's not like they did a contest or anything. They never like committed into, we're going to use one of your designs. Like, I doubt that's going to happen, but they might use some input from them or something like that. That'd be fun. Or they might hire people from that program. That would be really cool. But yeah, I thought that was an interesting development on that front. There's no timeline on that car yet, and I would hold my breath, of course, because if they are asking for design inputs right now, you might have to wait quite a few years before that gets to production. All right, when it comes to self-driving, last night I was watching a talk from Andrew Cappardy, and it's always fascinating to hear him talk. And he helps really boost my confidence in Autopilot when you know that this is the guy that's in charge of the software behind it. So for people that use Autopilot a lot, are looking for improvement in Autopilot, I would suggest watching the talk. We posted it on Electrek. But just the headlines, really. It basically highlighted the difference between Tesla's approach and most other automakers and tech company networking's approach. I mean, there's a bunch of different things, of course, but the main one is Tesla's vision-based approach versus other automakers like Waymo focusing on mapping, like doing HD map, and then they geolock their system to work within those map. So Tesla wants a system to just work based on vision, and everything they see it for the first time and they can handle it, while Waymo relies on the car already knowing the environment it is in, because they map the region, the every intersection, so it knows where it's doing, doesn't have to predict as much. Basically, he highlighted the difference between those one. He admitted that Tesla's approach is harder to do, it's a harder problem to solve, but his argument here is that once it is solved, it's much easier to scale. So the whole talk was about scalability of autonomous driving. And he explained how it would be so expensive for to map everything and then maintain those maps, because things change all the time. So you have to keep updating the maps all the time. And it's almost impossible to scale completely. While if you do have you do solve computer vision for driving, you can technically drive like a human, because that's how human drive. We drive based on vision, and our vision arguably sucks compared to computers to a degree. But yeah, I found the talk very interesting, and I agree with his approach completely. Though I see a bunch of Tesla fans using this as like proof that, all right, Tesla is just gonna eat the whole market when it comes to self driving, because once they figure this out, like it's done, it's a done deal. They are gonna be so much more valuable than Waymo and things like that. I have a problem with that, because even though I agree that it's a more valuable thing than what Waymo is doing is still valuable though, because you don't a geo-lock system that just works in a city, for example, like you just keep mapping like Las Vegas or something, and you have a ride-sharing Waymo system, self-driving Waymo or ride-sharing system in that city, that would still be extremely valuable. People like move from one place to another cheaply on the self-driving system. The difference is that they cannot do like, all right, I want to go from Los Angeles to New York completely self-driving and just sleep in the car and wake up in New York. They cannot do that. Or maybe they could, but it would be like difficult, and maybe it's just one route that they can take, and they would need to map that route and everything. So it's really more complicated, while Tesla system could theoretically just do that automatically. So there's value to that, but there's also value in Waymo having just ride sharing system that cannot go outside of a geo-lock section of a city or something like that. It's like, we wouldn't use that too. Like, makes no sense to me. So there's value in both, but I do like Tesla's approach better, because it replaced the human in it instead of like relying on crutches like maps and whatnot. I did suggest one thing though, because in the talk, Andrea Capriti kept emphasizing how difficult the labeling problem is, and how they need to like find the right data to feed the neural net system. And they say that the core engineering engineers working on this is just a dozen or like a few dozen engineers that are working on the core computer vision system, and then they have giant groups of labelers and the people doing the labeling to like feed the right data to those neural nets so that they can improve and they can perform specific tasks. And he said like you need to find that right data and everything. So I thought it might be cool to have some kind of gamify way for Tesla owners to participate in this, because I mean, we already have a way to send feedback to Tesla. You can just use the voice command and say like send feedback, and Tesla like take a snapshot of the car at that point and then use that for feedback. So the system is kind of already there. So if we can have a way if we see something that Tesla would need to label because they want those weird corner cases or anything like that, if that happens, you see it happening in front of you, you can like send that to Tesla. Tesla could use that as data to feed a neural net to work on something specific. And Capriti also said that the teams work on specific problems. He gave the example of like stop signs that are blocked by foliage, for example. So at one point, the team was working on like, all right, let's try to find data points of stop signs that are blocked by foliage. So they had to build a whole neural net, a whole classifier to detect those stop signs, and then send that to the fleet for the cars to actively look for them and to send them back to Tesla once they do find them. And they said like that alone, that's a big project to build a classifier and everything like that. So my thinking was, like Tesla could have like some kind of a gamified like weekly challenge. Like this week we're working on like cars that have a hitch with bikes on the back that confuses the system. So we want to feed good data of those videos from the fleet to be able to train a neural net to recognize those and handle them appropriately. So now Tesla owners, once they see those, they could send it to Tesla, and Tesla could pull the data from the cars and use them. And then maybe they get points, and you get like a leaderboard, or you get enough points, you can redeem them for like free supercharger miles or something like that. I think that would be super cool. All right, let's move to the next one, because we're already almost an hour in. We still have a bunch of news to go through. Let's go to them a little bit faster. Through Megapacks news, Tesla secured a new order for a Megapack in Ventura County. That's just outside of Los Angeles. Sorry, I need some water.
It's a nice image there. I don't think it's going to look like that, though.
No. I think it's going to be on the ocean, too. Might be on the ocean. Anyway, Stratosolar is the one that secured the contract here, but they announced that they're going to use the Tesla Megapacks, which is interesting in itself because Stratosolar does have their own battery pack system and containers, but they decided to go with the Megapack, which is probably telling how much more the Megapack makes sense compared to other solutions on the market.
Well, they're probably cost efficient because Tesla can make batteries so much cheaper than everybody else.
Yeah, in large volume, and apparently also like the installation time is much shorter because it's like the container itself is the battery pack that Tesla dropped. So very interesting. It's a massive project, 100 megawatt and 400 megawatt hour. So same output as Tesla's big battery in Australia, but four times the energy capacity, or at least four times of the original energy capacity, because they are increasing the energy capacity in the Australian project. But it would be Tesla's biggest project to date once it's completed, because I think it's going to be completed before the big one and the one near Monterey, like the gigawatt one, gigawatt hour one. This one is like half the size, but might be completed sooner because they are just got the green light to start construction next month. So it looks like it's going to happen pretty fast. Quick other one too. They deployed the first megapacks in Canada. No, it's not the first ones, but the first one in Western Canada or Alberta. They call it a wind charger project. So they have a wind farm, and next to it, they deployed nine megapacks for a capacity of... I had that somewhere there. No, I don't have that. 10 megawatts, 20 megawatt hours. Okay, 10 megawatts and 20 megawatt hours. So it's one of the bigger mega pack projects that we've seen deployed so far. And it's next to this wind farm, which is kind of fun for Alberta because Alberta is the tar sand capital of the world, basically. They're known for their oil, to be an oil producing region. And now they get a wind power system that charges battery packs to stabilize the grid and make full use of renewable energy. Kind of fun. Oh, that was one that I posted this morning. I had a fun little exclusive thanks to Lightyear. They, if you don't remember, Lightyear is this little startup that sort of spun out of the World Solar Challenge. And they were based in the Eindhoven University. So for those who don't know, the World Solar Challenge is just they build solar cars that are super efficient, and they are completely powered by solar. I mean, you can have battery power, but the battery needs to be charged back by the solar. And then they make like this race. It's in Australia, right? I think. Yeah.
Yep.
And so the Eindhoven team was very successful at it. They built this Stella, and then they had this Stella Lux too, because the car that they use in the competitions are like very bare minimum, and they're really just they're built purposely to win that competition. There's no like safety, there's no convenience features on the car, or barely. But this team was so good that they did the Stella Lux too, which had some convenience feature, had some safety features. It was more like a real car than the other cars on the road. So they decided to take that expertise and build basically a startup that would build a solar car for the consumer market. We reported on this year on the Lightyear One, which is their first car. Looked good. Specs were impressive. A lot of solar power on it, but the price was like, out there, like $180,000 or something like that. So we're like, all right, not many people is going to want to buy that. But it was exciting because it's development in the solar integration on cars. Which we know is going to happen more. Like the Prius had one. Who else had one? There's someone else.
Kia had one.
Yeah, Kia had one. Like Hyundai. And Tesla says that he's going to have one on the Cybertruck. So it's happening. So we want to see more development on that front. And that Lightyear One might result in that. And right now they're doing a development test. And for the development test, they built two cars, and they integrated the technology, a solar technology, on two cars, a Volkswagen van and a Tesla Model 3. And they released this video on the Model 3, which is very cool because you can then see the solar cells on the roof of the car, like the like the orange, the section I lighted with orange tape or wrap or whatever it is, apparently has solar cell on them. They're using these solar cells from SunPower, the Maxeon solar cell, which are apparently super efficient.
Yep.
And they integrate them very nicely in the car. And now those two vehicles are on the road gathering data about, you know, like the solar exposure, because, I mean, that's something that we always mention when talking about solars on cars. It's not the most efficient thing because it's not always the perfect exposures that the car is getting versus to get some sun on it. And so normally, like, the best way to get to power your car with solar is just have solar on your roof or house or whatever, and charge your car there. But that's not accessible to everyone, of course. So, and there's something exciting about your car producing its own energy too, like thinking like that. So some people would want it to not just for the actual efficiency of it, but it's just a fun feature to have. Your car is powering itself to a degree. But yeah, if they are doing also it so nicely, so neat like that, it's really just a costing at that point. Like how much does it cost? Like it doesn't seem to add much weight. It doesn't change the cosmetic of it. So it's just how much it costs versus how much power you're getting from it. And I mean, Tesla with the Cybertruck, they're talking about 15 miles per day. That's significant. I mean, a lot of people don't drive that per day, 15 miles. So your car could be completely powered by itself. Lightyear also is talking about significant power output, like 500 watts or something like that. So I could see that actually happening. And even after I posted the article, Lightyear mentioned that they might actually sell that as an option too. So someone could like buy a Model 3 and then change up the panel on the roof and get that as an option. Would you do that, Seth?
So are those solar panels transparent? Like, can you see up through them, or is it going
to
be?
There's no view from the inside, so it's hard to tell.
So I mean, I think there are transparent solar panels, but I think you're going to lose some of the transparency of the roof.
Yeah.
So that's a slight downside. I would totally get it. You know, if only to like kind of reduce the vampire drain. So,
or eliminate it completely.
Yeah, eliminate the vampire drain and maybe get a little bit up. Mm. But I mean, you know, you go to an airport and you park outside for 2 weeks and you come back to your car, and instead of, you know, losing whatever, however many miles.
You're fully charged. Yeah.
Yeah, you're fully charged, or you know, at least you have more than you had to start with, and you definitely didn't lose anything. So I think it makes sense. I'm actually kind of surprised Tesla hasn't done more of this. Also, you know,
it's apparently the efficiency, because I wrote in the article, Tesla was actually thinking of doing that in 2017. Mm-hmm. Elon said that he talked to his engineers like, I want this on the Model 3, but then they came back with the numbers and they're like, it's not going to work. Also, they were trying to make the Model 3 as cheap as possible too. So
right,
yeah.
I mean, so also like, why not do the front hood? Like, the front hood seems like it would make more sense than the glass. I mean, you got to take off the glass here. The front hood is like...
But I think that would affect the cosmetics more, though, than the glass.
I mean, cosmetic... Yeah, like, so on a black one, it wouldn't be that bad. On a white one, it would be certainly a big difference.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, you can make it look like glass. It might be kind of a cool look. Yeah. I don't know.
That's why the Cybertruck makes so much sense, because he's talking about putting it on the vault. So right. That's already like some kind of railing system like that just puts out. So it makes sense. There's even talk about possibly a deployable one that you can like extend, so that like if you're going camping or something, you can just deploy the whole thing and you have solar power. That would be really cool. I hope that happens. Where am I? Solar roof on the light gear. Oh, the VW ID4. So it leaked in China, because they started production in China, like I reported a week or two ago. But it was completely covered. But now with some application to be able to sell the car, some pictures have leaked. And
Quite a few
pictures, like all the angles and everything, all the wheel option. And if you want my opinion, it looks pretty good.
I definitely like it in white better than beige.
Well, different wheels option do make a big difference. But this one is woo.
I like it too. I think it looks great. I think because, you know, ID4 is not a super expensive car. It's going to kind of force the other, I'm kind of thinking like Audi. Well, Audi is part of Volkswagen, but the other SUV kind of makers to kind of up their game a little bit. I think this looks pretty good.
Yeah, very good in my opinion. And that's the one that's coming to the US too. Like, that's they're making it in China. But that's apparently the first MEB base Volkswagen that's going to be produced in the US. So this is actually coming. Very excited about it. And I was pleasantly surprised by that leak. I was like, this looks good. All right, another Chinese car that might tell us about the US version. GM this week unveiled the Buick V8 7, which is like the electric SUV, small SUV crossover for the Chinese market. But we've been for a while now, like, hearing about this Buick V8 being the same, or the Chinese version of what will be the Bolt EUV in the US. And we actually have someone on the podcast who's seen the prototype for the Bolt EUV. And apparently it does look very similar, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's the same body. The front is different. It's more of a Chevy front. I don't remember exactly what it
looks
like.
So does it look more like this?
Yeah, it definitely looks more like that. And what's frustrating... Yeah,
so you can see, like, the two are basically the same except for the front.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same car. What's crazy, though, is that image came out in 2017. So this is, like, 4 years ago that GM had this car.
Yeah.
Like, at least designed. Like, I just can't imagine how slow things work over there.
So that was the concept in 2017.
Yeah.
Production version in 2020.
Yeah, and it won't come to the US until late 2021.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. Like,
it shows clearly that GM lied to us too. Like, when last year when we reported on the 18 vehicles thing, like the 18 months to get the Chevy Bolt EV based vehicle. And we were like, that never happened. And then GM came back to us and they were like, no, it did happen. It was the V8 6 and the Bajon city car. And we're like, what? Those are Chevy Bolt EV based car? They're like, we learned from the Chevy Bolt EV and built that. And like, no, this was it. This is what they were talking about.
Right.
And it just took them a lot more than 18 months to get that to market.
So what do you think happened? Because like they're it's just so bad. Like, they had the Bolt in 2016, a really good car. I'm writing something right now, it's taking me forever, but I gave back my Chevy Bolt a week ago, and I'm just like, it baffles me. Like, you had this car in 2016 with a great battery, great drivetrain, it was a great car, and then nothing for 4 years.
Yeah,
like, and the update to the Bolt is nothing, and then this thing is, you know, 6 inches longer, has the same battery, has the same drivetrain.
Three inches longer.
Three inches longer in the wheelbase, and then another 3 inches longer. Oh,
okay.
So, which is crazy. Like, it took them 6 years to build 3 inches of trunk space. And like, come on, guys. Like,
you did say that the interior looks a little bit better.
Yeah. The interior.
And that was my biggest problem with the Bolt EV.
Yeah, so the regular Bolt has a much nicer interior. The seats are much nicer. It looks like, you know, an expensive...
You mean the new regular Bolt, the new Bolt EV.
Right. And then this thing kind of takes another step forward. It's got a sunroof and cool stuff like that.
Okay.
But, like, man, like, GM really, like... I mean, this is kind of like who killed the electric car. They had something great, and then they just crapped all over the place.
Yeah, I mean, it's like when you're carrying this whole gasoline car business while trying to one foot in the past, one foot in the future. It's not like that's Tesla's biggest advantage. Like, we only make the best electric car we can make, and it just so happens that it's also the best car you can buy, period. Then they're like, all right, but we want to do this future. We are all in electric vehicles, but at the same time, we need to manage this dying business of a gasoline car that is still our biggest profit center. So,
right,
it's so weird. It's such a weird situation. I mean, they're not alone in it. Like, Nissan has this the same problem. We still haven't seen a new car from them.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So
it's so slow over there. I just don't know how they can expect to keep up with these product cycles that are, you know, almost a decade or a half decade to a decade long.
Yeah, but the good news is that this is changing now. I think like we're gonna see a faster, like, the it took a lot of time for them to adapt to like the rapid change that Tesla has brought to the market and everything. But I think they're starting to now, and in the next like 2 or 3 years, we're gonna see a lot more cars, a lot faster coming to market.
Yeah. All right, we got one more story, and then we'll head to the comments.
Oh yeah, I just wanted to If you have any questions, put them in now. But I just want to mention real quick that the Cybertruck is going to be at the Peterson Museum tomorrow. And I'm going to be there. And
who else is going to be there?
I'm going to be there, and a bunch of electric readers also going to be there, because I give out a few tickets that I bought. So if you're one of them, like, I look forward to meeting you tomorrow. And if you got yourself your tickets in time before they were sold out, and you see me there, give me a come say hi. I don't bite. Though I probably won't shake your hand. coronavirus and whatnot. But yeah, I'm excited to see the car in person. Said I've seen the car in person. It was there at the unveiling. But I was in Paris at the time of the unveiling, so I couldn't be there. And I wish I really wish I could see the car in person, because it's such, like, weird vehicle. So I'm going to be there. I'm going to check out. And also, they have a bunch of I think like Tesla, like, gave them, like, prototype for a week, so to help them, because they're just reopening after the virus and pandemic. And I'm sure they are not great financially because of it, like, after being closed for a few months. So that will help them bring some people in. But they also have a bunch of other electric car there, so I'm looking forward to check it out, those too. But yeah, I'm going to be there from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. tomorrow. So come say hi if you're there too.
All right, to the questions.
Yep.
Lost on the curve. This puts Tesla in an optimum position of leverage. So Tulsa and Nashville have got to put everything plus some on the table now.
That's not accurate, though. My understanding is, like, that deal is already negotiated. It's just going through the process right now. It's not like it won't change. Like,
right. And I have a feeling, like, Tesla's ready to go. It just has to get all the signatures from all the people. And
my understanding is that they're already, like, moving dirt at the location.
Right. Well, moving dirt. Like, that's that they're going.
Yeah.
I did a street view of the tour of the site. Looks great. Looks like a great spot next to the airport. Nice new roads with super easy access. I think there's also train access there.
Yeah, or they can extend it pretty easily. But yeah, there's a giant highway next to it. So
yeah,
that's useful too.
And then highway widening. Andy Towers mentions traffic's a big issue. 130 is a tollway, so not very popular with the locals. So this location is chosen. Could be the beginning of a 130 build out of neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. Nobody likes tolls. do you think the subscription based full self driving would also be used for Tesla Semi? Wondering if there's a recurring revenue opportunity for Tesla once that replaces the cost of the driver. I mean, makes sense.
Yeah, but I don't think that replacing the driver was going to happen anytime soon. But for sure, they're going to use it to a degree. I think it's valuable.
Yeah, just like cruise control is valuable.
Yeah, cruise control is extremely valuable for stress is a big factor for truck drivers, and they do make long hours, and that's why they limit the hours of the truck drivers. So maybe they can have, like, something like it's gonna make their job obsolete, but in the meantime, it's gonna make their job a lot better.
Yeah,
which is kind of weird. Kind of weird feeling, like, you love this technology, it's making your job better, but eventually would make your job irrelevant. So weird.
Right. So the Jose says, I don't understand why some people are bitching about you guys pointing out these quality assurance issues. It's a $45,000 car. Keep it up, guys. It'll only make the cars better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
$50,000 cars.
I think a lot of people think that way. Like, I think that's a normal thought. It's the crazies who are upset about it.
The crazies are so vocal. That's a problem.
Right. So loud. I wish they would hire Monroe. I'm not sure if that's us or Tesla, but...
I'm pretty sure it's Tesla.
Give us
a call. Arkimoto. Arkimoto did it.
Right. How many cars were reported with trouble like this? We don't know.
Like I said, I've seen a lot of reports from owners on that. I get it myself. If you look at the forums, I'm splitting them, but we don't have an exact statistic on that. It doesn't exist.
All we are saying is give Tesla a chance. That's what we're doing. The quality issues seem to be low-hanging fruit. Yep, the ones that we saw certainly are.
So some of them are. Some of them probably are more complicated than that.
And Tarek likes to drive with the back camera on. I'm sure there's a lot of people like that. Mm. And we get a lot of explanation of that. Let's see. When will Battery Investor Day take place?
Was supposed to be by the end of the month, but without any announcement. Well, sometimes Tesla has this, like, 3 days from now, the event's going to happen. So it might still happen by the end of the month. But
so check this out. Tesla went public 10 years ago in 10 days. So that would be a good...
On the 30th?
Yeah, something like that. I can't remember. Mm. But, 10 years of going public.
29th? Yeah, so that could work.
That might be a good date for it. Mm-hmm. I'm putting my money on it, so...
All right. Are you going to get back in before the battery day?
No. Not no. $1,000.
Too expensive at $1,000?
It just feels like it's a little overhyped at the moment. Yeah. I mean, eventually I think it'll be worth it. I just think right now we're in a high cycle. Yeah. I'm in. I still have my very low amount of share. Mm-hmm. But I know you have what you said, 20 or 30% of your portfolio is?
Yeah, probably closer to 20, but still a decent amount of shares.
Yeah. I wish I would have got in at 361 right after the coronavirus stuff. All right, back to questions. Cycle Gamer, the lock at home is important because it's annoying to have to bring your phone with you to get something out of your car.
Okay.
Yeah, sure. That's a good point. Mm-hmm. Back to battery day. Yeah, that's a little confusing. Another good podcast. Thank you, Green Gold. Tons of Model Y at the service center today. I hope they were in good shape. That's a good report to have. In a legal sense, if you have a cam and you do not share the footage in the event of a court case, you can be charged with withholding evidence. It's kind of what I was getting at there. It's almost like you don't want Tesla to be able to turn that on, or you don't want Tesla to be recording that, even if they don't send it anywhere. Mm-hmm. Appreciate the news you guys provided over the years. It would be nice if we could see your positions in Tesla in detail through Tip Ranks accounting or something similar. I have one share.
First of all, you don't have to disclose a number or share. It's like just if you're long or not. But I don't know what you're talking about. Tip Rank. Tip Rank is for stock analysts.
Yeah, it's a different thing. Yeah. I can buy an electric Smart for under 10 grand and do most of the driving I'll ever need. That's from right. Brainwashed.
Do it.
Go for it. I want a worldometer page dedicated to Tesla stats. Be that person. Do it.
Yeah.
Johnny B says, I'm excited about the smaller Tesla car. I hope they can ramp it up quickly in China and Germany. I wanted to ask you about that. I remember Elon Musk saying something about a $25,000 car after the Model 3 came out.
Yeah.
Is that...
He walked that back at one point.
Oh, did he? Okay.
Saying that with self-driving, he doesn't necessarily see a need to go much cheaper than a Model 3. Okay. But I would assume that this new Chinese-style car would be cheaper because apparently it's going to be smaller, at least based on the already drawings that they released. So I really want like a nice little hatchback, maybe not even $25,000, like $30,000.
Yeah, nice. I know, like a Chevy
performance.
Bolt.
Yeah, like a Chevy Bolt style. Yeah, odd hash like that.
Maybe not the same design aesthetic, but
don't go crazy on the range. Don't go like 200 miles of range. Just light, make it light, make it super efficient. Maybe 250 option max. Which will help keep the cost lower. That would be great. That would be awesome.
I want a drone car, says Brainwashed. I'm not sure what the context of that. Johnny B says, I'm not informative, but humorous. My daughter knows someone who drives for Waymo. He shuts it off when his shift ends so he can get home quickly. I don't know what that means. Yeah, maybe it's not as fast or something. Andy Tower says 2 miles a day with a solar roof is better than 0 miles a day.
Fair, about what price though? If it's like $5,000 to get 2 miles a day, like just a lot of people won't see value in that.
All right. Hyundai sells a solar roof on one of its hybrids. But that, I think that's only powering the air conditioning or barely powers anything.
Mm-hmm.
Waymo's big in Chandler. Let's see, get to questions again. Mm-hmm. Kind of, we get these conversations. I was very disappointed of the ID3. It looks like crap from the inside. Lots and lots of plastic. Very cheap looks.
Really? Have you seen it in person? Because I haven't. But
it looks very modern to me.
It looks good to me. I love everything that I hear about the ID3 right now, but I haven't seen it in person. So if you have, you have a better perspective than I do. But
Lars sounds like he might be German, so maybe he's seen something more than. How long did it take Tesla to resolve the quality control issues in the Model 3 manufacturing process? How do you think it'll take? How long do you think it'll take the Model Y?
It took a good year for Model 3, I think. Like, before it started to be like really very good. But what I'm seeing is that even for Model 3, they were like smaller issues that makes more sense that they would get past quality control. Even though it shouldn't, it makes more sense. With the Model Y, we're seeing a lot of things that pass quality control that gets to a delivery attempt that we didn't really see in Model 3. A lot of things that like trims that are just like completely off, and like that back seat, that seat belt, like these things, like, nah, it just shouldn't never attempt a delivery on that. That's the bigger difference, really.
Any towers, I bet by the time we get to buy the model ID3 in the US, there'll be a cheaper Tesla alternative.
There's no plans to send the ID3 in the US right now. So
right.
You're probably right.
And there's no cheaper Tesla alternative. So
yeah,
very theoretical there. Let's see. We're getting a conversation here. Mm. GM would crush all bolts and wash their hands of EV if they were given the chance again. I hate to say it, but like sometimes it does
seem
like that.
I hope that's not true, but maybe.
Model 3 is still pretty pricey in Europe, hopefully resolved with Giga Berlin. I think that's mostly there's a lot of tax involved in that.
And also Giga Berlin is going to make Model Y first, so that could take a while for Model 3 start production there.
Yeah.
At least another year, in my opinion. After the Model Y comes, I mean.
Yeah, Johnny B says Model Y should ramp up much more quickly than Model 3. Tesla has more experience now and 70% shared parts. That's a good point, although they're running out of space.
Yeah, I would have thought that, like, before the shutdown, I thought the Model Y was like the smoothest launch Tesla has ever made. But now after the shutdown, like, you see that things went south pretty quick.
Lars is back saying future Nissan EVs are not going to happen with gone. I mean, they're definitely happening. It's just the pace of innovation doesn't seem to be the same.
I'd love to talk to Carlos about that. Like,
if anybody knows Carlos, we will fly to Lebanon. Yeah. Maybe
I'll talk to him. I'll talk to him in French too.
Right,
like an interview in French.
Devil Friend, is the Model Y more popular than the Model 3? Like Elon said, according to Google Trends, not so much. I think that's a supply issue.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what replies. What do you guys think of the new Mazda MX-30? Specs are not so engaging, but the interior is so nice and plush. Is that even an EV?
Yeah. That's the first Mazda EV. Is it that? MX-30? I thought so.
I thought they had a different name for it. Maybe that's a German name.
But I agree. Like, the interior looks great. The exterior looks great too. But like, yeah, the specs makes no sense at that price for
it's in
2020.
Any plans on bringing a guest to the show? We used to do guests every once in a while. We should do more guests.
Yeah, guests will be fine. Like, if you know of someone that could be fun to have on. Yeah,
we're pretty stringent in our Friday afternoon thing, which isn't very easy for a lot of people. All right, so one more question. Saw the review of Cheng Li, a sub $1,000 EV published on Jalopnik YouTube channel. We're checking out as it's full of surprises. I would say not really. That's a 1 kilowatt motor, which is like what I have on my bike. Mm-hmm. That is more of a kid's car, I would say, it would never be roadworthy anywhere. The fact that it's in a car form factor, just with a motor that's more fit for an e-bike, just means that it's pointless to me. I don't think it even goes 20 miles per hour. All right. So that's it.
All right. Thanks a lot, everyone, for listening on YouTube and watching on YouTube and listening on your podcast app. We appreciate it. You can give us a thumbs up if you like the show. That's always useful for us, for growing the channel. Subscribe and hit the notification bell to know when the next video is up and when we go live for the podcast every week. You can give us a review on the podcast app. That's always useful, too. And now we're going to see you same place, same time next week. Ciao.